Wow, it is so good to be with the church today, to share in this celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm glad you followed that song instead of me having to. I was an emotional wreck. I thought I'm really glad I don't have to get up there right after that song went, because that was awesome. That was just, those two girls do that so well. It basically was the whole story of what we're celebrating today. And I've always said that this day is no different than any day that we gather together as a church, because we know the Easter story every day. It's not just something that happens once a year for us. So as we get into the Easter story this morning, I'd just let's pray and let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I thank You this morning for, hallelujah, thank You for Your love, Father, that You loved us that much, that You loved the world so much, that You gave Your one and only Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Father, as we look at the resurrection this morning, Father, I just pray that You'll just put it on our hearts to love You back. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I was looking through the Gospels to pick up site for today, I went to Luke. Luke is so descriptive, and so he just got so much stuff that is beneficial for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and for the life that we live, that I wanted to go there today. I will finish up then in John 3. That's why I titled my lesson, "For God So Loved the World." Because without His love for us, none of this would have happened. And if none of this would have happened, then our lives are over. Our lives are short. There is no eternity. So, thank God that He loved us so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I actually want to begin back in Luke 23. I just put Luke 24 in there, and as I got to looking at it, the Lord asked me just to go back to, I'm not going to go back to the crucifixion. You're all aware of how He was crucified, but Jesus' death is important as we look at this Easter story. And beginning at verse 44, chapter 23 in Luke, says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour." So you all know that between the sixth and ninth hour, it's daylight, it's not dark. But darkness came over the whole land for 3 hours, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. I don't know how many of you know the significance of the torn curtain. But the curtain separated the people from the Holy of Holies. It separated the holy place in the temple from the Holy of Holies, which was a place that only the priest could go, and after he was consecrated, he could not just go in there anytime he wanted. or he would die. What that means then is that we today have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. It's only through His death that we gained access to the Holy of Holies, to the Father. So we can go to the Father anytime we want now. We don't have to have a priest go for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to the Father anytime we want. So that's why I wanted to go back and share this part of the of Jesus' death, because the curtain was torn in two. We now have access to the Father. And Jesus called out with a loud voice in 46, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. And he came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. So the church, as it was in that day, was waiting for the Messiah to come. Many of them believed that Jesus was the Messiah because of the miracles that he did, because of all that happened in Jesus' life. But now they're wondering, if this was the Messiah, why was he killed? Why is he not with us anymore? So Joseph went and asked, "Could I have the body of Jesus? I want to bury him." Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, which is the day before the Sabbath, and when I was building, I learned that on the Sabbath, for those who believe that Saturday is the Sabbath, it begins actually at sundown on Friday evening. We have worked for a couple of different families who were Seventh-day Adventists and believed that you do not work on the Sabbath. So we were shut down at sundown on Friday evening. We were wanting to get home. They wouldn't allow us to finish. So we had to take a day off. And he said, I begged him, let us finish so he could come home for our Sunday services. And he said I just can't. He said, I can't let you. And so that was very, very real to them. Sabbath was very real to them. And they kept that tradition over the years. And so from sundown Friday evening until Saturday evening, there was no work for us at all. So we just went and enjoyed ourselves for a little while. But that was a preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin, and he knew that he had to do the burial before the Sabbath began. So he took Jesus' body down and buried him. And when the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it, then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. So they prepared spices, perfumes to put on his body. I don't know how they thought they were going to get in to do this on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, but that's what they were doing at the tomb. They were taking the spices back to anoint his body and to prepare it for the burial. And it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So the 11 disciples didn't believe the women when they told them the grave's empty, even though they'd walked with Jesus for years. They'd walked with Jesus and saw him do his miracles, saw him, and he told them that, "I'm going to go. I've got to be killed." But he said, "I'm going to rise from the dead in 3 days." And still, they thought it sounded like nonsense. They didn't believe it. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. How many times are we going through our daily chores and the things that we do and we don't recognize and Jesus is walking beside us? They didn't recognize him. And they were just talking about what all had happened. They just got done. They're talking, you know, what happened? You know, Jesus was crucified. We know that he was the Messiah. But what's going on? So he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to sentence him to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." "What is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body." "They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And isn't it great how he lets us know what's going on through the prophets? You know, all through the Old Testament and the prophets, we see signs that Jesus is coming, that the Messiah is going to come and be killed and raised in 3 days. And they all heard those scriptures. They all knew that. But here are these two guys just wondering what in the world is going on. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took bread, and gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked, while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened to them on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Hallelujah. That verse in 32 where it talks about our hearts burning within us when we heard the scriptures, and how important it is for us to daily spend time in the Word of God. And then Jesus appeared to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still didn't believe, and because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I'm going to send you." Oh, he said, "You are witnesses to these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So then they went on to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and then he ascended to the Father. They didn't see him anymore. He was right there with them, and then he ascended to the Father. If you would, just turn over a couple pages to John 3:16. And we'll close today with a couple verses here. Beginning at verse 24 in John 3, it says, or verse 14, I mean, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world," or loved the world so much, "that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Hallelujah. As I said, I love the way Luke told the story. Luke wasn't really an eyewitness, but it tells us in the beginning of Luke that he studied it all out. He talked to them. He talked to the guys that eyewitnessed it. He got the account before he wrote Luke. And I just love the amount of things that he put in his version here as he wrote the story of Christ's resurrection. So as we close today, if you're not walking in the light, I would invite you to do that today. Turn your lives over and let Jesus control your lives. I always want to make sure that I allow time for someone. If there's anyone here who has never accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you want to recommit your life to the Father, we'll allow you to do that today. If there's anything at all that you need prayer for, the elders will be here as the praise team comes to sing our last song. We'd love to pray with you. So if you've got anything at all that you need the Father to touch today, we invite you to do that as we close. So come on up, guys. Thank you.